Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us. before you again this day, thanking you, Father, for allowing us to be here.
Amen.
To worship you again, Father, we are grateful for the health that you've given us so that we can be here. And Father, we're aware of those that are sick that have been mentioned this day, and those of our, that are friends and neighbors that are sick. And Father, we pray to you and ask you for a favor of helping them in their illness and help them, Father, recover to the normal walks of life.
Amen.
We thank you, Father, for the blessings that you give us every day. We're grateful for the last week, the things that we did last week and were able to complete.
Yes.
Where, Father, we ask you to help us to go through this week and for you to bless us in such a way that we can have a good week this week. Thank you so much for the church that you give us here, even at this place.
Amen.
Help us, Father, to always do your will. Give us, Father, the help and the knowledge and wisdom and to carry on here at this place. And to have the insight, Father, of those that are around about us and help us to convert them. There's so many people around the world, Father, that don't know you, and we ask you to bless those that go and teach them and help them, Father. And
Amen.
We pray that much good can be done. We
yes.
pray for the Mexican work.
Yes.
We pray for those in India and that part of the world in Asia. And those, Father, in the Philippines and other places that the church is trying to be established and to teach those people. Bless those that go there and teach them, and Father, we ask you to help us that we can help them in every way that we can.
Amen.
Father, we're grateful for the land in which we live.
Amen.
For the country that we enjoy so much. And Father, we pray for the leaders of this land that they'll look to you for guidance and for help. Father, we're grateful for the men and women that in the military. Father, we pray that you'll watch over, mm-hmm. care for them, keep them out of harm's way, and bless their families. Mm-hmm. And Father, we're so grateful for those that have fought in the wars and died for this country, but not this country only, it was even for the whole world. To help this country to be strong and to exhibit the things that we know about you and helping the other poor countries that are around us. And Father, to take care of our own. We look back, Father, in the history and see you were so much of a big help in all of the things that were established here. And we look at our country here today, and Father, we see the shambles it is in. We understand the devil is at his work. We understand that, Father, that your word is being suppressed in every way that we can, that can be. And we pray, Father, that through us, that we might be able to once again have a country that's loving and caring and guided by you. Father, we have all these things that we enjoy in our lives, all the blessings, but above all the blessings that we have, Father, the one that you gave us was your Son. We came to the earth, taught us the things you'd have us to know, and died on the cross for our sins. We pray, Father, that we can be more like your Son every day in our lives, that we can serve you, and Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. We ask you to bless Brother Robert and Sister James, their work here. We pray that much good can be done.
Amen.
We pray that you give them a long life. And help us, Father, all of us to work together to preserve this little congregation here at this place.
Amen.
Because it is the beacon of this area. And Father, we pray that we'll always be truthful, we'll always be faithful, and Father, we'll always be here to serve you. Thank you so much for every day that you give us in our lives that we can be here. We know that you love us, Father, and we pray that we'll love you back in such a way that we'll all grow together in strength, that we'll someday be able to be with you in that great heaven that you live in after we're gone. Thank you so much again for everything you do. We ask his blessings in Jesus' name. For the forgiveness of our sins that we do ask. Amen.
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 When we find an opportunity to serve the Lord, what should be our response? Should we not seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? And he promised in Matthew 6:33, all these things shall be given unto you. Speaking of the things of which he talked about earlier, food and clothes, the shelter that we need to live in this world in which we live. Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, if I seek first the kingdom of God, what am I going to do to a service of the Lord's church? Am I going to avoid it, miss it, not pay attention to it, not be interested in what's said there? Or am I going to be a person who puts it first, who thinks about it first, who becomes a part of it and asks God's blessings on my way to and from that meeting and that gathering? Further, in regard to the church of our Lord, in Romans chapter 16 and at verse 16, when Paul writes that the church is the special organ of God, and that we are to be people who find in that church a relationship with the Lord in the righteous and right way. He tells us to salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. And further, he tells us in this regard that we're to be people who mark those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine and avoid them. They are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the saints. So we're to be people who know the difference in truth and error. How are we going to know that without studying the Bible and seeing the truth of God and the teaching of the Lord versus the difference between that teaching and the teaching that we hear on the radio, see on the television, or hear from a pulpit that we may visit the people there to encourage them to also come and visit with us? And if we go to a meeting that they hold and a revival that they hold and the preacher up there is preaching about the sinner's prayer for salvation, instead of us creating a problem to them at that point in time, we simply raise a question. I'd like to know, where is the verse in the New Testament of our Bible? We live in that dispensation. Where is the verse that tells us that we are saved by a prayer that we offer? That we're forgiven of our past sins by a prayer that is offered. By a request from God that he forgives us of our sins. Where is that verse of Scripture? And if we don't find it, what should we then do? Should we follow up on it and be a rough housing person in that place? No, no, we should not. But we should be people who love truth versus error. And notice the difference in marking divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. There are things that are taught and practiced that are contrary to the doctrine. They're opposite of the doctrine that's taught by Peter, Paul, James, and Jude in the New Testament of our Bible. Brother E. Claude Gardner was president of the school at Fried Hardin when I was a student there. And I knew that by his comments, he loved very much N.B. Hardiman, who was a founder. He and Brother Fried, founders of that school. He wrote a book entitled, Regarding Hardiman, Preacher, Professor, and President, page 33, he wrote about N.B. Hardeman opposed error. And he makes the following observation of his comment in Hardeman's Tabernacle Sermons that he preached up in Nashville at the turn of the century. Friends, that's the tragedy when I see and what I know to be good brethren hold up their hand and say, "Oh, there's nothing to that. You brethren just want to cause trouble." I'm sorry to say that, brethren, but you simply don't know what you are talking about. Now, that's the plain facts about it. You haven't studied the matter. You haven't read all the speculation regarding it, and therefore you have no right to criticize those who are opposing error of any kind. But it is characteristic of this cult to profess an extremely pious air and to be negative on all questions and not to try to expose any kind of an error, even out in the sectarian and denominational world. Then they can put their arms around folks in error and honey them up and say, "Brother, kindly lead our prayer." Now that's the spirit of it. There's the harm, there is the sacrifice, brethren, of the old landmarks. It is the giving away to the least resistance. It is loving the praise of men more than the praise of God. That's what Brother Hardeman said there as he preached there in Nashville. It was recorded by the Nashville Banner Newspaper Company and printed verbatim in the publication. The world has changed a lot since that time, is it not? And would you find a newspaper anywhere these days that would print a full sermon that were being done by a gospel preacher? Those things have changed the matter of what we need to do and what we need to be. It is said regarding truth and error, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. By spirit first, being the heart of the individual, the inner person, the conscience of mankind, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Looking for it to be the practice in the New Testament. Can we find where people in the New Testament worship God by way of teaching God's word? Yes, we do. Can we find where they observe the Lord's Supper and correctly would obey the Lord's Supper? Yes, we do. Do we find people doing error in regard to the Lord's Supper and allowing to be continued on in that way? Or do we find corrections being taught to them? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, did not Paul tell them to plainly be people who straighten that up in their worship and not to worship further in that way of opposing the Lord in his righteous way? What we find people giving in 1 Corinthians 16, as I've given order to the church of Galatia, so do you upon the first day of the week. Let each one of you lay by him in store with God as prosper him. There be no gatherings when I come, Paul says. The work of the church is to be supported by the free will contributions of the bread. It's a way of life that we see of truth versus error. But there's more to this than this matter of truth and error in regard to the teaching doctrine of the Lord. The doctrine of the Lord is emphasized in Romans 16 and 16 and emphasized in regard to the way of life for them to lead. In the book of Colossians, this letter is written, first off, to those who are part of the kingdom of God. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Notice that he says in regard to this matter that there would be people who follow the teaching of the Lord in verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. Spiritually speaking, we're to be people who serve the Lord in such a way that we enjoy this relationship. I want to turn over to the fourth chapter of the book of Colossians and note with you how Paul says to the brethren here at Colossae that they're to be people in the kingdom who go over to the church at Laodicea, Colossians 4 and verse 16. And with this epistle is read among them, cause that it also be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. He wanted them to read this particular epistle. And in verse 15 he says, salute the brethren that are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans. They were to take this over to the household of Nymphas. The church met in his house. They had this epistle that they could read. What could they say to the people that would help them to live faithfully the Christian life? I've already noted in Colossians 1 at verse 10 that you walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. But there's much more than this. In Colossians chapter 1 at verse 3 he says, we give thanks to God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have for all the saints. Are we to be people who love the saints in every place that we know of in the world? We are. He told the brethren of Colossae, you have been known for the love that you have for all saints, and for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. What did they hear that heaven existence? In the truth of the gospel that was preached unto you. You heard it before when you heard that truth of the gospel preached about where we're going. And he tells them in regard to this matter in verse 8, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. They pray for us, and we pray for them. We love the saints in every place. They're the people who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, set apart to do good things, helpful things, spiritual things. He says to do them. And however we do in life, giving thanks unto God which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance in the saints of light. Verse 12. What a blessing it is. The church at Laodicea heard these words, and the kingdom of God's dear Son in Colossae heard those words. What were they? They were the words of truth. They were the words accurate. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, who is the head, talking about Christ, who is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased God that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through his blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. What did Jesus do for the world? He gave the whole world a way to live by. Governments of the world to practice over life. That's why we pray for our leaders and all in authority. We pray for them, and we pray for those who have sacrificed their lives that we might have the opportunity to know the difference in truth and error. In Colossians chapter 2, notice what is said there. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and them at Laodicea, and for the many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be comforted. What do you want to be comforted about them? The thing we've been preaching about this morning and preach about tonight. The inner man, the heart of the individual, that spiritual person that's there. And he says that their hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joy and beholding your order, your steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Paul had somebody to come by that had been through the church there at Colossae, been through their worship service, been through their teaching work, and they brought him word about how those brethren lived in their love, in the faith, in their relationship to Christ, and their relationship to one another and to all the saints. And now he's praising them. He says, As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And then he begins immediately to tell them things that they might have conflicts with where they live. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. There are people who come along and they'll teach you all kinds of things that are not after Christ. They won't close their lesson by saying, this is the way the Lord said it, because he didn't say that. They couldn't find where the Lord said that. And so they look to their idea. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. What are we talking about this morning and tonight? Talking about the spiritual man, the spiritual person. How that in that heart we have that love. How in that heart we have that peace. How in that heart we have that understanding of truth and knowledge. In the heart. In that spiritual man. And he tells us, therefore, without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. When you were baptized into Christ, when you were buried with him by baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, what did God's operation do? It acquainted you with the way of life that is of God, of Christ. It cleansed you from those sins and that way of life. He forgave you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us, which were contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled the principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. God wanted the body of Christ to come and take the place of all their special worship occasions in meat, in drink, in respect of holy day, the new moon, the Sabbath days as well. What a blessing the Heavenly Father was and is to us. And he says in verse 22 and 23 of Colossians chapter 2, which are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. What are those things? He says the rudiments of the world, the ordinances of the world. Touch not, taste not, handle not. That's all of mankind. Which things are indeed a show of wisdom in will worship. In their will, they want that to be the worship of. And humility and neglecting of the body, but not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Where are we going? Well, if the Lord doesn't come at the time of our death, our body goes into the grave. It returns to the dust from which it was made. But our spirit returns unto God who gave it. And here's the place who Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then shall you also appear with him in glory. The Father will make it available for us to appear with Christ in glory. We've been faithful to him and follow his way. That's what he's talking about there, the faithful way of life. He says in beginning in verse number 5 of Colossians 3, put to death, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. All actions of fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. There are those who live in those things and practice those things until they die. And they face only the wrath of God for practicing that way of life to death. In which you also walked some time when you lived in them. These brethren Colossae were not always honorable people, not always helpful people, not always spiritually minded people. But he says, but now you have put off all those things, including the anger, the wrath, the malice, the blasphemy, the filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on. Now we know that from Romans 6. When we're baptized into Christ, we put off an old way of life, we bury an old way of life, and we're raised to walk in newness of life. What's he telling us here? And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. We have a blessing from God when we come into Christ, and we understand that message to be a message of renewal, and we have been renewed, made again. We have a blessing from the Lord that's going to last all the way to eternity itself. He says in verse number 14, And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Rule where? In our inner man. In your hearts. In that deep part of your life that is really paid attention to by God. He looks into the heart. Is the heart his? Is the heart thinking about the spiritual things? Is the heart talking about spiritual things? To the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful that you are called. Let all the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. We're going about to do things. We do things right and good. We kind of be of help to others. We have people who do these things in life. What about our social activities in life? Verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And be, what? For this is well pleasing unto the Lord. How the Lord wants children to obey their parents, follow their parents' ways. How did they want them to do? Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, not just as you would say that they would look up to them and they would, just for the flesh, they would do that, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Do this service unto the Lord. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. In chapter 4 he says, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master. Where is he? In heaven. Continue in prayer, watching the same with thanksgiving, with all praying always for us, that God would open up to us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am in bonds. Keep in mind that Paul was under arrest. He was headed toward the trial in Rome. He was in a treacherous time. Yet what did he want to do? He wanted to let his speech, like theirs, be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. The emperor of Rome, or the servant, what a blessing he had in regard to that way of life, because he could speak of saints in Caesar's house. No doubt taught by him. And they obeyed the Lord. He says in verse number 13, For I bear them record that ye have great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them that are in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved servant, faithful, physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Memphis, and the church which is in his house. When this epistle is read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. You reckon they read it like sometimes we read things? We read it, and we see it, and as quickly as we lay it down, we don't remember what was there. Brethren, what a time we have in the Lord to walk worthy of the calling that He's given to us. And from our hearts, allow God to see that we are diligently serving Him from our heart, not just from our physical walk or physical way of life, but from the spiritual walk of life that we have enjoyed. What a blessing it is. When Brother Hardeman, back down to years ago, talked about that era, he closed by saying, "Brethren, kindly lead our prayer." Now that's the spirit of it. That's the harm. Don't do that, he says. It's giving way to the least resistance. It's loving the praise of men rather than the praise of God. If anybody's subject to Jesus' invitation tonight, come as we stand and as we sing this good hymn.
To follow Jesus, stand before the bride, holding up His banner in the thickest fight, listening for His orders, ready to obey. Who will follow Jesus, serving Him today? Who will follow Jesus, who will make reply, "I am on the Lord's side,
Master here and I"?
Who will follow Jesus, who will make reply, "I am on the Lord's side, Master here am I"? Who will follow Jesus in His work of love, leading others to Him, lifting treasures of love? Courage, faithful servant, in His word we see, on our side forever will this Savior be. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply, "I am on the Lord's side, Master here am I"? Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply, "I am on the Lord's side, Master here am I"?
When I preached this sermon many years ago, down in the Delta, Mississippi, I had a couple of ladies that came to me after service and said, "Brother Robert, you realize that what you preach today, we can't go to heaven. There's no way we can serve the Lord this way." And I said, "What was it in the lesson that you could not serve the Lord?" They could not tell me. What is it in this lesson that we cannot abandon the ways of the world, abandon the ways of the flesh, abandon the ways of sin, and lean over to that way of the Lord and pray to Him about it and be thankful that He hears us and notes that we're now living a righteous walk of life? That's what we can do. I hope it helped them greatly, and I believe it did. God bless you all. Good to be with you tonight. Be careful as you go, and look forward to seeing you on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock.
Let's turn to number 168. 168, Travis. Walking in sunlight over my journey, over the mountain, through the deep end, Jesus has said, "I'll never forsake thee." Promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight,
name, Father, we pray for the ones that are sick and hurting. Father, we pray that you be with them and comfort them. And Father, we say a special prayer for JL.
Amen.
We pray that they will find out what's wrong with his health and he will get back to his normal walk of life. Pray for Mary Joyce also, Father, that she'll continue to heal.